Yes, welcome back. It's now 12 minutes past the hour of 11. You are listening to Radio Islam International. It's time for our weekly panel discussion. This week we are discussing the importance of treating our employees, our helpers, workers, domestics, however we call them, you know, basically treating them good, as this was a teaching of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And it's the false parts of the, what we can say, demands of akhlaq and character, subhanAllah. Our two guests for this morning, Mawlana Muhammad Venka and Mawlana Wasim Lahir. Mawlana Muhammad Venka, our studio operator, is busy getting hold of him. But we do have Mawlana Wasim Lahir with us on the line. We welcome Mawlana Wasim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you keeping this morning, Mawlana?
I am doing very well, alhamdulillah, Mawlana. And how are you?
Alhamdulillah. Now, Mawlana, when we speak of this aspect of ill-treating workers, many people sometimes feel that, you know, no, shukr, I don't fall part of this. And the reason is because they don't realize what they are doing is, for, you know, is actually ill-treatment. You know, they picture ill-treatment as, you know, like lashing your worker or something like that. So maybe Mawlana can start off by pointing out for us some examples of ill-treating workers, which has become the norm in our society.
Jazakallah khairan, Mawlana, and Jazakallah khairan to Radio Islam and to yourself and the team for having us on your show. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the listeners of Radio Islam. Jazakallah khairan for tuning in. And as Mawlana has mentioned with regards to the ill-treating of workers, domestic workers, and yet there's two dimensions to it. One is, Mawlana rightly pointed out, one is where people feel justified, or it doesn't occur to them that what they are doing and how they are treating people is something wrong. And I'm going to discuss a little bit about this one, and then I'll touch on the second one where they know they are doing wrong and they still persist in doing so. So in the first one, where people feel justified, and I'm going to use it on a very personal basis and something that will hit home for many of us, is it belongs to a cultural upbringing. And you know, Mawlana, if you look at some of our households, we were brought up like that. And in simple examples, you know, the way we would give food to domestic workers, for example, the way they would be given food in those enamel plates, you know, and we would be sitting on the table. Yes. And maybe mommy prepared or we prepared a nice home-cooked meal, and the meal that was given to the domestic worker was the meal from last week. It was kept in the Tupperware in the fridge. So it's all of these small aspects. But because it belonged to a cultural upbringing, and if you grew up in a home like that, you spent 18 years, 22 years, 25 years, some of us even 30 years of your life in a home like that, and that became the norm to treat people like that. So it feels normal. And until somebody has to actually point it out to you, and because it's in a personal space and people don't observe the personal space as often as other spaces, and if someone doesn't point it out to you, it feels very normal. It feels this is the way life should be. This is the way people should be treated. And it doesn't feel wrong. It feels justified. So like this, it comes to the issue of eating. It comes to the issue of how they are being paid. It comes to the issue of how we talk to them. It comes to the issue of basic human decency and courtesy. And all of this, there's many examples that we could highlight, you know. And one story always just hit so strongly for me. I know a few years ago I spoke about this as well. And I heard about it and one scholar told it to me. And for some reason it just stuck in my mind. And he said that there was a domestic worker who was working for a household in Malaysia. And after she left the employment, after a good number of years, I can't recall exactly how many years, must have been over 20 years, but if it's wrong, but she worked there for a long period of time. And when she left that place, so there were da'wah workers who were spreading Islam, and they went to her house, they knocked on her door, and they wanted to spread Islam. And they spoke to her about Islam, and she says, I believe in this religion, but I will never become Muslim. And so the da'wah worker, and this is the person who was telling me the story, and it's amazing. She said, Mawlana, that I will never become a Muslim because I worked for a Muslim household. They were kind people, they were good people, but I did not feel like a human being in their presence. And that hit very strongly. And then the da'wah worker asked her, and the da'wah worker was the one who was telling me the story, and I asked him why. He said that when they would serve me food, there was a kennel outside where they had a dog. So there were two plates that was kept. One was kept for the dog, and one was kept for myself. So they would fill the dog food in one, and they would give me food in the other one. So they were good people. They would smile. They would greet. They were kind. But when it was time for food, they would give me the one plate with the dog food, and one plate was mine. And I had to go and sit outside next to the dog's kennel and eat. That struck her so deeply, and that hurt her so deeply that as a human being, she felt so invalidated that she felt that, you know what, I don't ever want to be like these people. And because of that, you know, she's become so distant from Islam and Deen. And the whole core issue here was that family, and the key word she used was they were kind. And she said that though they were kind people, this is how they treated her. So that family, they felt justified in treating her that way. But unfortunately, look at the detrimental effects. And the worst thing is one day we're all going to pass away, and how do we stand before Allah and answer for something like this? And if we feel it's justified, or if we don't reflect and introspect in some of the practices we employ with the people in our household, whether it be a domestic, like you said, or it could be a driver, it could be a gardener, it could be whoever it is in your business, these things have an effect on the people around us. How then will we answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So that's the aspect of being justified. The second one, like I said, that there are some people who know and are well aware of what they are doing. And this overarches two main areas. The one, Molana, is exploitation, where we overwork and overburden and underpay. And the other is the discrimination, where we feel that they are suited for lesser activities compared to us. And yes, for every person, there is a degree of work. A person who holds a certain qualification, a certain number of years of experience, is entitled to a certain level of work. That is understandable. But the discrimination in terms of the way we treat them as human beings, and again, this stems to what I was speaking about earlier. So speaking firstly on the exploitation, that we overwork them, and we do have the sense, and it's tied very strongly to our psyche. And I'm just going to highlight one demographic group. I'll talk about for those of us who are from your general Indo-Pak origin. Our psyche is very, or mindset, very numerous in nature, very number-orientated. It's how much I put in, how much I get out. If I put in 10 rand in my business, I need to get out 20 rand, 50 rand, 100 rand. We're very input-output orientated. And it comes to our employees the same way. If I am paying you an X amount a month, I'm paying you 2,000 rand, 4,000 rand, 10,000 rand, I expect to get more than what I have put in.
Yes.
If I'm given that amount of salary, I need to get that amount out. So we are exploiting, we are overworking, we call them earlier, then other people report to work, we send them off later. We find some household domestic reports to work 6:30, and they leave 6:30 in the evening. It's a full 12-hour day. And again, on legal grounds here, what is the legal aspect? It's illegal to treat someone, they're working Monday to Saturday, and then we tell them, yeah, we give them food and we give them this. And again, that sense of justification in again. But if you look at it from a legal perspective, it's wrong. But do away with the legal aspect. Just from a humanity point of view, from an Islamic point of view, from a morality point of view, to overburden and overwork someone in that kind of manner, it's very dehumanizing. And like the story I spoke about earlier, these things carry on with people. It carries on to their household. A mother who goes home. And one, I was just researching on Steps essay this morning, and it said that the labor force, the highest number or group or type of people employed in South Africa are domestic workers, which accounts for 7% of the labor force. Now, if, for example, and a large number of them are working in our households, and if they go home with a certain mindset and mentality that they are exploited, they are discriminated against, that's the kind of thing that they will teach their children. And those children, a lot of these domestics are trying to get them educated, they are trying to push them into business ventures, and many of them, you see today a lot of successful black entrepreneurs, you find those who are come from foreign origin, the Congolese, Zimbabwean, Malawian, etc., Malawian, you find all of them, alhamdulillah, they slowly are making their way in the world. Like our forefathers who came, they came as simple traders, they didn't go to school and education, but slowly as generations passed, they made it go into corporate environment, etc. So similarly here also, you'll find that your African population are taking more senior positions. And tomorrow it's not a far-fetched idea that one of us or our children could end up working for them. And if this person was brought up with that mindset, that, you know what, a person of a different color from my skin treated me as such, it will always sink in and stay with them. And one day we may exact ourselves to those conditions because of how we or our forefathers treated these people. So it's very important to just sometimes just reflect and think, and it all just boils down to from something very simple. It's just good people skills, basic human decency, basic human courtesy. That is the way we should be treating people. We learned this from our sunnah. And if we just had to reverse the role, I always mention this and say that if we were in that environment as an employee, loyalty works both ways. Good faith works both ways. If you were in that position, how would you like your employer to treat you? Reasonably, of course. You have to give your fair share of duties. Your fair share of duties, that's what you have to work and do. And as long as they are fulfilling their duties in the home, they are cleaning, doing whatnot, if you were in that position, how would you like your employer to treat you? So those are some of the examples of how workers are being ill-treated and what are the effects that could happen. And from the Islamic perspective, it's just a matter of having just good basic human decency and courtesy.
Yes, very interesting. We do have the second guest with us online, Maulana Mohammed Venker. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Maulana Satan, assalamu alaikum to Maulana here. Hope both of you are keeping well on this beautiful day, on beautiful Sunday.
Alhamdulillah. How's KwaZulu-Natal, Maulana? It's holiday time. I'm sure you're going to see a lot of Joe Burgers there in the next week.
Yeah, the people from Joburg days love Durban, mashallah. The weather is a little overcast today, but the last few days have been, mashallah, you know, beautiful, beautiful days, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah. Maulana, as far as the Sharia is concerned, what do we find regarding the treatment of servants, helpers, workers, etc.?
Okay, barakallahu feek. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, Maulana and listeners, this is such a pertinent, such an important aspect. You know, when we look at the treatment of workers from an Islamic point of view, what are the guidelines that Islam has provided for us, you know, with regards to those that are under our care, we are paying them a wage. And Islam is a religion where every aspect of our deen has been discussed, you know, and presented to us in the most amazing way. You know, it's such a pertinent aspect for every one of us. You know, when you spoke about the holiday season, and many of our housewives, when it comes to the holiday season, they all want to go on holiday. Why there is no domestic servant at home and they cannot carry out the chores of the house, you know, all alone. You know, so they need assistance. But the question is that we need to ask ourselves is that we cannot manage without them. We cannot do without them. You know, but when it comes to, you know, paying them a livable wage, treating them with respect, honor, and dignity, unfortunately, this is where, you know, we are falling short. And when we look into the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, there are multitudes of examples that we find. You know, Sayyidina Luqman the Wise, what did he tell his son? He said, when your authority incites you or provokes you to oppress the next man, then remember the authority that Allah has over you. Allah has put us in a position of authority. Allah has put us in such a position. Allah could have turned the tables that, you know, that woman is working for us today. You know, we could have been working for someone else. You know, turn the tables. You know, what respect, what honor, what dignity do we show these people? They're earning a meager wage. You know, sometimes they make mistakes, they blunder. One Sahabi asked the Nabi of Allah, how many times should I forgive my servant on a daily basis? What did the Nabi of Allah say? Up to 70 times. 70 times. These are human beings. You know, they are human beings. They try to the best of their ability. They leave behind. You know, they come to work with great, you know, great effort. You know, they leave early in the morning. They take one or two taxis. They come to work. They return back to the families in the evening. They also have children like we have children. They have children. You know, how sad a reality. And we've always spoken about this. You know, when we look into the ahadith of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? إِذَا أَتَى أَحَدُكُمْ خَادِمُهُ بِطَعَامِ. When your servant presents you with a platter of food, Nabi Ali Salam said, allow him to sit on the same table as you, or allow her to sit on the same table as you and partake from that meal. But if you find it below your dignity, you do not want to allow them to sit on the same table as you and partake of that meal. فَإِنْ لَمْ يُجْلِسُ مَعَا فَلْيُنَاوِلُهُ لُقْمَةً أَوْ لُقْمَتَيْنَ أَوْ أُكْلَةً أَوْ أُكْلَتَيْنَ. Then, you know, present a platter of food to them. Let them eat from what you eat. Let them drink from what you drink. You know, often it happens, we find many of the housewives, they go shopping, they buy a certain type of bread, you know, for you and your kids and your family, your husband, and you buy inferior quality for the domestic servants. You know, you go out shopping, you buy a handbag, the cost of the handbag is perhaps, you know, double the amount that the domestic earns for the entire month, and you come and you boast about it, you bring it home with the designer label, you know, with the price on the handbag. What must be going through the heart of that innocent woman, irrespective of whether she's a Muslim or non-Muslim? That is irrelevant. Islam does not look at color, creed, or race or nationality. You know, these are human beings, end of the day. These are human beings. You know, we need to take that into consideration. And this is what Islam teaches us. You know, treat them with respect, honor, and dignity. There was one Sahabi by the name of Abu Mas'ud al-Badri, radiallahu ta'ala. And he was a Badri Sahabi, and he says, one day I picked up my hand to slap my slave, and someone caught my hand from the back, and he said, Ya Abu Mas'ud, lallahu aqadaru alayka minka ala hadha al-ghulam. Oh, Abu Mas'ud, Allah has more authority over you than what you have over the slave of yours. He said, I turned around. It was none other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not knowing what to say, I said, O Nabi of Allah, wa hurrun li wajhi Allah. I free the servant of mine for the pleasure of the Almighty Allah. Nabi alayhi salam looked at him and he said, Ya Aba Mas'ud, ama law lam taf'al. Just as well you are freed. You are freeing the slave of yours just as well. Otherwise the fire of Jahannam would have been waiting for you. And really, it's a sad reality. It's a sad reality. In many of our homes, you know, we are guilty of abusing those that are working for us. You know, this is an integral part of our Iman and Islam. You can be reading your Salah, you can be reading your Quran, you can be going on Hajj. But I think this is a question, especially for our mothers and our sisters, those who are domestic servants. How do we speak to them? You know, how do we deal with them? Sometimes, and I think this is something that perhaps can be, you know, would be discussed. You know, they make mistakes. You know, she's ironing the garment, it gets burnt. Or, you know, she does not... fulfill what you wanted to. What did the Nabi of Allah say? You know, charity is not only about giving money. Charity is not only about giving money, but lessen the burden of those that are working for you. Allah will give you the reward as though you are given perpetual charity on the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. You know, it's a happy occasion. Many a times, those that are working for us, they are Muslim. You know, on the day of Eid, in our homes, in our businesses, you know, you want the brother to come to work. You're having a joyous occasion. It's a happy occasion for you and your family. You know, make it a happy occasion for him as well. Tell him it's the day of Eid. The domestic servant that is working for you, you know, you're paying a meager salary as it is. You know, for you to give her 200-300 rands extra every month, you know, give it to her on the quiet, give it to her separately. I mean, this will bring joy to the heart of that person. And the dua that will come out from heart will travel with your generations. You know, we give charity everywhere else. We say in English, charity begins at home. Be honest, how many of us are guilty of it? Is something lying in the freezer? You know, we find it after a month or two, take it and give it to the domestic servant. You know, we have shoes lying around. When the shoes get torn, give it to the domestic servant, give it to the garden boy. You know, every one of us, we need to look within our cupboards, within our closet. There's so much of extra that we have. I mean, let them benefit of it. Let them enjoy. Not when it gets torn, then you take it and you give it to that domestic servant or you give it to that garden boy. And this is where, we speak about dawah. You know, we speak about tabligh. You know, becoming ambassadors of this beautiful deen. You know, and some people will boastfully tell you that my domestic is working for me for the last 20 years. Well and good. She can be working for you for 50 years. But did you show her the beauty of Islam through your character? You know, some of them are working for us for so many years. What's the salary they earned when they started working for you 5 years ago? How much are they earning today? Do you know how many kids does that woman have? You know, which school do they go to? You know, what's the living conditions? Let us empower them, inshallah. You know, give them a little extra. This will not infringe. We spend so much. We go to restaurants. We go on vacations. We go on holidays. And sometimes we boast. You know, to them, we're going here, we're going to this country, we're going to that exotic destination. Did we find it in our hearts once? Did we find it in our hearts once, you know, to send her and her family on some vacation? You know, we can extend this topic. We look at, in our masajid, you know, these are human beings, the muazzins, those that are inviting us towards salah. You know, how are they treated? This is another topic on its own. You know, but it's a sad reality. Like Monana mentioned earlier on, you know, it's a custom that unfortunately has filtered down over the generations, is that what I put in, you know, what will I get out? You know, depending on what I put in, the output must be more than what I put in. But it's not about that. It's about insani yet. You know, becoming a human being and, you know, portraying the character that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us.
Yes, that is so true. Very, very interesting and beautifully said. Mulana Wasim, if we look at the importance of paying the employee on time, this is sometimes also, you know, we tend to delay. And because the salary is so little, what we don't realize is even a one-day delay makes a huge difference. Perhaps you could expound on this, the importance of paying the employee on time.
You know, when I saw this here, on a lighter note, and those of us who watch memes on a regular basis, one meme came to mind, and that those of us who work and get salaries via EFTs, and it may just happen occasionally where, the employer might not be in a position to make the payment timely, and it may get delayed, you know, and then there's that meme there that says, may the best effort order win. So in that circumstance, if we look at it, if we aren't paid timely, we know the repercussions that it has for us. And even though, if you had to compare the financial situation of those of us who are in a capacity to employ a domestic or an employee compared to a domestic worker or an employee, the financial situation is very different. Many of us have reserves, we have money put away, we have cash saved somewhere, we've got unit trust or investments or something of the sort that may carry us even though we weren't paid timely. But for many people, for many employees, for many domestics, whoever it may be, many of them are living hand to mouth and are very dependent on their monthly salary. It said, for example, that 71%, and again, I picked this up on Stats SA, 71% of domestic workers are the sole earners and breadwinners in their homes. I just let that sink in, 71% of them. And like Mulana rightfully mentioned, many of them are earning a meager salary. If you just look, for example, if you're paying someone 2,000 rand, just their food expenses for a household of 4 to 5 people will easily come up to 1,000 rand, 1,200 rand, just on basic, basic food items. You know, they have their mini meal and they have their basic oil and basic rice without eating meat on a regular basis. That amount of money already goes towards that. If you look for fees, you look for transport, and you look for everything else that they need to pay. And when we're saying that they are the sole earners, many of these households don't just have one family unit. They have extended family living with them, with uncles and aunties and cousins and grandchildren. So there is often there's more than just 4 or 5 people in one household. You know, so the salary, they are so dependent on it. And we all know the very proverbial hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that occurs in Ibn Majah, that the worker should be paid before their sweat dries. The wages should be given before their sweat dries. And I came across an interesting discussion in Tafsir, under وَلَا تَقْحَصُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ, that do not withhold back from the people their due. It said that Shu'aib alayhi salam, who was the Nabi that was delegated or sent to the people of Madian. And when I was reading about the people of Madian, I was just doing a bit of research, I saw a lot of similarities to the way we live, to our people, so to say, the way we love, the kind of conditions we have. They were very skilled in commerce. They were very, they were noted as highly civilized. You'll find this also in non-Muslim historic sources. They were considered as very highly civilized. And in summary, they would call them a superior nation. However, they had flaws, as was mentioned in Quran. It's a very lengthy verse. It comes in Surah Al-A'raf. They defrauded people. They were very money-centric in nature. Their whole lifestyle was very materialistic and centered around money. They had terrible employment ethics. And worst of all, they disbelieved. I mean, I read that, a quote just went through my mind that says that when the urge for materialism prevails, the need for faith evaporates. I'll say that again. When the urge for materialism prevails, the need for faith, for iman, evaporates. So this, in summary, was who the people of Madian were. Shaykh al-Islam came, he warned them against these ethics and the lack of ethics that they were practicing in their businesses, with their employees and such. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destroyed them. What was once a proud nation, a powerful nation, a superior people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them and left them as nothing more than dead bodies under crumbled homes. So that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. And when it comes to those of us who are in a position to employ others, and we have domestic workers, normally when when they give financial advice on how to spend your salary or your income, they say the first thing you should do is the 3 S's. Number one is sadaqah, give out something in charity. Number two is to save or invest. And number three is salary. So the first thing we should do from the money that we get, whether it's a salary or income in the business, the first three Like I said, the three S's in the first category is your sadaqah, give out some charity. Number two, save and invest. And number three is salaries. And something that we always like to mention with regards to sadaqah, and this is particularly for the ulama out there. Many ulama, they say that we don't earn enough, we're not in that capacity, and alhamdulillah, we're in the capacity to give lectures and encourage others to give charity. But like Maulana Venka rightfully stated, that the charity begins at home. And even we as ulama, in whatever capacity we are in, whatever we can afford, and it is not necessarily about the quantity of it, but the quality of the intention with which we give the charity. So this is particularly mentioned for those who are ulama or in a capacity where they feel, if I had more, then I would give. And just a story comes to mind. I read something about Bill Gates, and he said that Bill Gates, during the years of his study, he used to fly up and down from time to time. And at the airport he would fly from, I can't recall the airport's name, I'm just quoting from memory here, he said there was a vendor who would sell these tacos or these hot dogs. And because he was cash-strapped at the time, the vendor would sometimes give him these tacos or hot dogs for free. And many years later, when Bill Gates became the person who we know he is, the multi-billionaire, the world's richest man and whatnot, and he came back to that man and he said, I never forgot you. And today, I want to give you whatever it is you desire. And even if you had to ask me for $1 billion, I will give you this $1 billion. Because I never forgot that at that time when I was hungry and did not have the means to even buy myself a semi-decent meal, you provided for me. Today I'd like to repay the favor. And that man smiled at Bill Gates, and he told him, that keep your money. I was in a position where I myself could barely afford my expenses that I gave you. Today you're in a position where you could feed half the world and you wish to give back. It's not about how much you have. It's about the willingness and the generosity of one's heart. And that's what he told Bill Gates. And Bill Gates said that that was one of the most important lessons he learned in his life. And he mentioned this on his blog, and he's got his YouTube channel where he speaks about this here. So I think that's a very interesting lesson. And it's more towards the sadaqah and the charity. But like Maulana said, sometimes, Maulana Venka mentioned, sometimes even if you just take out a little extra for that part and give it to your workers, give it to the employee, give it to the domestic. You know, for example, they are going through some celebration. Many of us know when they have funerals, the funeral affair is very costly for them. Mm. Take out that little bit extra, pass it on. That gesture of kindness, that gesture of generosity will become so embedded within their hearts and their minds that my employer looks out for me and has this connection and understands that I'm in a situation where I do require a bit more financial assistance. So if we are cognizant of these few things, of paying them on time, when if we, and there was one incident of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he was walking with one of the companions from this Allah is in Ja'far, and Ja'far came into his yard and one of the workers was there, and he told the worker, okay, when you're done, I'll pay you at night. And Ali asked him, how much are you going to pay him? So he gave the amount, and Ali asked him, did you specify the amount and the time? He said, no, whenever he finishes, I'll give him, and whenever I give him, he's happy with it. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu got cross, and Ja'far inquired, why are you getting so angry? And Ali said that we should always specify with our employees exactly when will I pay and how much will I pay. So sometimes we have this that I'll pay them. And we leave as those, for example, those of us who are breadwinners, or we leave the money with our wives and tell them, just pay them. And sometimes the wives tend to forget. And we pay them one day later, 2 days later, a week later. Hey, I forgot to pay them. Specify a date. And if this is the date, I'm going to pay them on the 25th. And if the 25th falls on a Sunday, then I'll pay them on the Friday before. Make it a rule and it's clear. And today, alhamdulillah, with technology, many of us, we use these conveniences. You can set an alarm that will trigger off once a month. So on the 25th, an alarm will go off in the morning. You can set it on your wife's phone as well. Whoever is paying the employee in your house, set those alarms. It's a practical, but it's a very simple mechanic that we can use. It will produce us efficiency to ensure that we are paying our workers on time. And when they are paid on time, it develops within them this confidence that at least the services the employees are rendered, they are getting their due regard back in return.
Yes, very true. Maulana Venka, you touched on earlier on about, I think the example you gave was where the employee or the domestic might damage some property. Now, sometimes these things happen. They break certain items, or maybe with the iron, they might have burned a garment. And we tend to make them pay for it with their salary. So end of the month, we deduct it from their salary. Is this the correct thing to do? What is the correct manner here in handling such a situation?
Yes, I think this is another, which alluded to it earlier on. As Muslims, there is something that, we need to learn to forgive. Learn to forgive. Have they done it intentionally? But domestic, when she's ironing that garment of yours, did she intentionally burn the item? No, absolutely not. You know, she, in fact, there's an incident recorded in the Kitabs where there was the slave and there were some visitors at home. So the master tells her, bring some, so as she was coming in the joy to fulfill, what the master had asked of her, as she was coming, she tripped and she fell over. And whatever she was carrying, it broke. And she said that, you know what, my master is a man who believes in Quran. So I will speak to him not with my words, in the words of Allah. What did she say? وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْثِ. You know, amongst those who will enter Jannah, those who swallow their anger. She recites Quran in front of the master. The master looks at her. قَظَمْتُ غَيْثِي. I have swallowed my anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Amongst the dwellers of Jannah are those who forgive people. What did he tell his slave girl? I have forgiven you for the pleasure of the Almighty Allah. You know, there was one slave girl, she comes to the master and she says, I've been poisoning you for so many years, but you're not dying. He said, what's the matter? She said, I don't like you. He said, for the pleasure of the Almighty Allah, I have forgiven you. So, subhanAllah, you know, like that you will find there are so many examples. You know, so if they slip up, they make a mistake, you know, they burn the garments, or, we need to learn to forgive and forget. And this is what Islam teaches us. I mean, we look at the Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the most perfect, uswatun hasana, the most perfect example, and he's the role model, Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I always say this, we know these incidents, but the lessons that we should take from these incidents, you know, unfortunately, we are not taking. You know, 10 years he spent in the company of the Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We all know this. You cannot tell me, respected listeners, in 10 years, Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not upset the Nabi of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam, not once did he even tell him off. Not once did he even tell me off. Nabi alayhi salam, that was the tolerant nature of the Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, we hear of cases, it's a sad reality. There's no way we can justify it. Where certain of our mothers and our sisters were physically, beaten up, you know, by domestic servants. And when you go back and you start unwinding and, investigating the reason as to why this had happened, you know, how was the domestic servant treated? You can swear her, you can abuse her, but they are human beings. There's only so much that they can take. So learn to speak to them. Remember, these are not our slaves. These are not our slaves. Allah Ta'ala, when he speaks about Musa alayhi salam and the servant of Musa in the Quran, what word is used? وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ. What did these scholars explain? You know, one is to tell you, hey, listen, do me a favor, bring this for me, do that for me. But one, can you do me a favor? Can you please do this for me? Can you please do that for me? This is the beauty of Islam. If Islam is good for me, wallahi, it is good for them. Show them the beauty of this religion of Islam. So just to answer the question, if they slip up, they make a blunder, they burn the garment, they break something in the home, she's washing the dishes, and she breaks the plate, for you to tell her to pay for that plate, and unfortunately, there are so many outwardly good Muslims, when you pay that servant that salary at the end of the month, you know, you cut 100 short. And the servant says, boss, what's the matter? Madam, what's the matter? Why did you cut my salary? No, you came 5 minutes late. You broke the plate. You burned the garment. So in lieu of that, I'm cutting your salary. It's easy for us to do that. What goes through the heart of that innocent woman? The question is, did she break that plate intentionally? Did she burn the garment intentionally? No. She's not going to do it intentionally. She made a mistake. She's a human being end of the day. If we have committed so many mistakes in our lives and Allah keeps on forgiving us, imagine if Allah has to grudge us. Respect the listeners, think about it. If Allah had to grudge you and I, there's so many wrongs that we commit against the Almighty Allah. What did Allah Ta'ala say? That every creation of Allah is the family of Allah. Al-khalqu kulluhum ayalullah. Every person is the family of Allah. The best in the eyes of Allah is that one who is best to the family of the Almighty Allah. So we are not speaking about Muslim, non-Muslim. That's a separate issue. Whether they are non-Muslims, and majority of those that are working for us in our homes, you know, they are non-Muslim. And this is an ideal opportunity for us to show them, you know, the beauty of Islam. you know, let us learn to forgive. Okay, no problem. You know what, you made a mistake. You know, let life move on. It's not going to dent your lifestyle in any way. It's not going to dent your pocket. You bought one garment for you to buy another garment. It's not going to infringe on your basic life in any way. So let us learn to forgive and forget. And this is, you know, this is the beauty of Islam.
Yes, very true. Maulana, was him sometimes, not sometimes, in fact, all the time, there's a common saying that children don't do what you tell them to do, they do what they see you do. And this is quite important because, you know, we might teach our children to respect domestics, but when they see us, when they see us treating our domestics in a certain way, they feel that, okay, this is the way you're supposed to do it.
Yeah, that's correct, Ma. And like you rightfully mentioned, you said that sometimes we train their children to do as we tell them to do and not as they see us do. But so something we need to really understand, and this comes back to parenting and how we look after children. The children are human beings just like you and I. And we need to look at the way we saw our parents behave and how much of those values we adopted from our parents. So we need to be realistic, we need to be genuine with ourselves and understand that children will not just operate what we tell them to do. You find, and I'll use this as an example when it comes to Salah, you find the father or the mother will encourage their children to read their Salah, and they might even start to get aggressive about it and say, it's time for Salah, you have to read, or you have to pray your Salah, or you have to read your Namaz, whatever you may call it. But the parents themselves are not praying. And the child feels that I have my parents in high regard and esteem, they are telling me to do something, but they're not doing it themselves. So in the child, it creates a bit of a disconnect. They respect their parents, they want to do as their parents do, but their parents are telling them to do something that they themselves are not doing. So understand this in the psyche and the mindset of a child. The child is very disconnected from this here. So when it comes to respect for domestics, we need to set the example. I think that's the bottom line on this one. We need to be generous and kind to them. We need to be understanding and sympathetic. We need to be humane. We need to have the ethics of how to treat our employees. And like that, it will be absorbed by our children. They will learn from the way we do things rather than the way we say things. So let us set the example for our children. And when it comes to the concept of fitra for our children, and I'm going to paraphrase the concept of the very prominent and well-known hadith that all children are born in fitra, but we train them otherwise. We teach children otherwise. Often you see young, small children, they have no sense of discrimination or racism within them. You'll find them playing with just about everybody. They don't care for financial status of the child. They don't care for background of the child. They don't care for skin color. And it's so beautiful to witness and see. And for those of us who are in an education environment, you see it amongst the small children. And when you see them go over the years, if you have a one-on-one chat with them, they will tell you that this is what my parents have told me. That, you know, we need to stay away from this group of people. We need to do this here. We need to do certain things. We cannot be selective in being humane. We cannot be selective in being humane. If we are humane, we need to be fair and equitable across the district. We have to be fair with everybody. It's not because somebody has a different skin color that we respect someone. If someone speaks nice or has a high level of English, then we have a regard for them. Someone doesn't have that level of English, we don't have that regard. Someone has a financial status, we have that regard. And a good barometer, and this as parents, as adults, a good barometer to survey ourselves is the way we treat the beggar by the car window at a stop street. The way we treat that person who has nothing that can affect us in our lives. When he comes to us, and even though he may persist, because that ultimately is a reflection of you. You must know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may forgive anyone. And it's something that we should always ask ourselves, that Allah, if I were to die and this man were to die, and if Allah, you had to forgive this beggar and grant him entry into paradise, then Allah make us all the entrance into paradise. And if you had to grant this person paradise, and Allah, if you do not grant me this, who will say what, Allah? So that's something we need to think to ourselves and see, that everybody has equal footing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is only by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we may enter into paradise, that we may get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's acceptance. So coming back to children, we need to understand that their fitra is not to hate. We teach them how to hate. And we need to teach our children, by through example, that they should be spoken to, domestic workers should be spoken to with respect. They should have some decency. Don't leave clothes lying around on the floor. You know, even plates, don't leave it on the table. You can pick it up and put it into the basin. You know, it's small, simple things, but it's humane. It's small, simple things that a domestic worker understands that I'm here to fulfill a job and a role. But the people here are kind and considerate. That's the way we need to do. And ultimately, in this one, let us not perpetuate the wrong that we were taught as children. We were taught very different things when we were small and we were younger. We were taught to discriminate. A lot of times we were taught to hate. And for those of us who did undergo those kind of upbringing, let us not perpetuate that to our children. Let us be that part where it gets cut off and our children start a new fresh start that is very humane in nature, very Islamic in nature, and carries the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Yes, very true. Maulana Venke, in terms of how we speak to our servants or helpers, what guidelines can be found in the seerah?
Okay, when we look in the seerah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was a person that came to the Nabi of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he said, O Nabi of Allah, we've got a child at home, and this child abused the servant that is working for us. We had come to ask you, how will Allah view our situation on the day of Qiyamah? And now this is a common question that the people generally ask. Okay, now let us understand it in the context of our times. You know, somebody does something wrong. How will Allah view our context, you know, our wrong that we had meted out to the servant on the day of Qiyamah? Nabi alayhi salam, he said that if the wrong that the servant had done to you is more than the wrong that you had meted out to them, then this will be credit in your favor. You will not be held accountable. If the wrong that you have done to them is equal to the wrong that they have done to you, kana kafafa, it is equal. No punishment for you and nothing, you know, it's equal. But on the other hand, reverse the situation. If the wrong that you have done to them is more than the wrong that they have done to you, then on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will hold you accountable. You know, Allah will hold you accountable. And remember, Allah will embarrass you in front of the entire creation on the day of Qiyamah. You know, if often it happens, something sometimes goes missing. You know, what do we do? Automatically, without investigating, you know, we blame this one and blame that one. So, you know, I think like that you will find that there are. So what did the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? That if the wrong that they've done to you is less than the wrong or the punishment that you had meted out to them, that Allah will hold you accountable on the day of Qiyamah. So like I mentioned earlier on as well, you know, the Sahabi asked the Nabi of Allah, how many times should I forgive them? He said, up to 70 times. Does it mean it's confined to 70 times? No, no, the commentators of hadith have explained is that 70 denotes a large number. No matter how many times they make a blunder, they slip up, they make mistakes, just learn to forgive. Just overlook, you know, and inshallah, create a wonderful working environment, you know, for them. Like Maulana had mentioned earlier on, you know, they are totally dependent on that, you know, on that wage. Many a times they come and make certain suggestions. What do? We show them the door. If you don't want the job, there are 100 people lined up, you know, who will do the same thing. So that's not the attitude. That's not the attitude. If we think we can oppress, you know, we think we can retrench. Wait when Allah starts retrenching. So remember, these are the servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Again, this is the family of Allah. We mentioned the hadith earlier on. So let us be careful as to how, you know, we speak to them and how we deal with them.
Yes, that is quite true. 5 minutes left before 12, dear listeners. You are listening to the Sunday morning panel discussion with regard to the treatment of workers, Maulana Muhammad Venker and Maulana Wasim Lahir. Our guest for this morning. As we conclude, Maulana Wasim, your final concluding words, also perhaps you could touch on using these opportunities as a form of dawah.
See, Maulana, and I think in conclusion, there's a strand that runs throughout all of the discussions that we have with regards to domestic workers and employers and employees. Number one is, you know what, just be a good Muslim. When it's time for prayer, go and pray your salah, read your namaz. You know that when domestic workers or employees see the intelligence that you have for your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this impacts them. So be a good Muslim, be a good practicing Muslim. Number two, and aspire to have the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Be kind, be forgiving, be generous. Your akhlaq will speak volumes. Often you will not need to say a word, but they will hold you in high regard and respect. So number one was be a good practicing Muslim, pray in time. Number two was have good akhlaq. And number three is just be a good human being. Build good relationship skills with them. Good people skills. Build a relationship with them. Talk with them. And when you find that you have a good relationship with them, this is how you can open up towards dawah. Talk about things like life and death. Talk about children. Talk about humanity at large. And often this will pique their interest. And because they have a good relationship with you, they are more inclined to listen what you have to say. So that is how we can use this as a form of dawah. And in conclusion, Molana, the whole thing is this, that the way we treat others is not a reflection of who they are. It's a reflection of who you are. And this is the last story, and I'll end on this. There was a person who was used to document animal footage for National Geographic, and he saw a snake in a hole. And the photographer was there with the camera and he's recording this. So this animal person went inside and he put his hand to try and save the snake from the hole, otherwise he would die of starvation. And he put his hand inside, the snake bit him. So he recoiled his hand, he rubbed his hand, and then again he went inside to pull the snake out. And the snake bit him again. And he rubbed his hand and he went again, and his snake bit him, but he, you know, he scrounged up the pain and he lifted up the snake and he took it out. So the cameraman asked, the snake was biting you, right? He said, the nature of the snake is to bite. And it is my nature to be kind. So you need to ask yourself, what is it made to be a person who is kind and humane? And are you truly showing those characteristics for those who are employed by you? Because ultimately, the way you treat them is a reflection of yourself and not of them.
JazakAllah for that, Mulana Wasim. Mulana Vienka, your closing comments?
Okay, my closing comments are, I think this is a topic that we can extend, you know, not only domestic servants that are working in our homes, those that are working for us in our businesses, and I think more important than that, you know, those of us that are serving Islamic organizations, those that are working for us, the employees, you know, we need to treat them, we are working an institution that is serving Allah, serving the deen of Allah. So, you know, this is an opportunity. I think my closing comments are very, very simple, is that we need to become ambassadors for this beautiful deen. You know, let us show them the beauty of Islam through our character in terms of how we treat them, you know, pay them a good wage, pay them a livable wage, speak to them in a, you know, in a respectful manner. And inshallah, in that way, you know, we could become, subhanAllah, we just say, you know, they said every person that Mawlana had employed, every one of them had reverted to Islam. What was it? It was that character. It was that character. But unfortunately, many of us are guilty of not fulfilling in the rights of those that are working for us. So, indeed, this is a very lengthy topic, and, you know, but nonetheless, we ask Allah to grant us the tawfiq that we imbibe the beautiful advices that we shared on this beautiful program. JazakAllah khairan for the opportunity, and inshallah, till we speak to you again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, listener, sending a message just saying, may we all take lesson from the above topic, really, really a relevant daily issue, subhanAllah. That was Mawlana Wasim Lahir and Mawlana Muhammad Vanka, our guest for this morning. Really beautiful, insightful advices given by our two guests. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them. He brings us to the end of the program, the end of the hour as well. We like about 10 seconds left before 12 noon. And with that, we will close off, inshallah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.